So this is now week 7, if you can believe it, on this topic. We spent the first few weeks just defining the mitzvah of Kriyas HaTorah, what it is, what it isn't, what the role of the Baal Kriya is, what the role of the brachos on Elios are, and that was sort of our opening phase. Then we moved into the issue of women counting towards the 7, which ones they originally counted for, because we do know that originally they did count before we got into the Kavod HaTzibur issue, whether they would lean once the institution of a Baal Kriya was created, whether they would get an Aliyah but someone else would lean. Yeah, and we spend an awful lot of time on those issues. And then last time we moved into the discussion about the Braisa that excludes women, that says women could count for the 7, but we don't because of Kavod HaTzibur. The Chacham said not to because of Kavod HaTzibur. And we pointed out that there's a Tosefta that has different language, and discuss a little bit of the back and forth between the Braisa and the Tosefta. And we began our discussion of what Kavod HaTzibur is by showing that Kavod HaTzibur is not something that is invoked specifically regarding women's aliyos, but it appears in various cases in the Gemara. It appears in the way we shown him understand certain cases that appear in the Gemara, and then in some additional cases that we shown him added. So we saw it in the Gemara regarding a person who reads Kriyas HaTorah from an incomplete Sefer Torah. We saw it regarding a shul which rolls the Torah in, while the shul is there. In other words, they, let's say they didn't roll it in advance, and then they're going to roll it during, during shul with everybody sitting there and waiting. Those are cases that the Gemara explicitly mentions. Then we talked about additional cases of having a minor get up to Duchen by himself doing Berachas Kohanim, or the case of a chazan or a Baal Kriya getting up with torn clothing, or the case of a chazan who doesn't have a beard. All cases in which the Rishonim are the ones who indicate that the problem is a Kavod Tzibura problem. And then the last set were things that the Chachamim themselves, the Rishonim, I should say, added. One was the case of of someone who sits while reading Megillas Esther for a minyan. That's against Kavod HaTzibur. And the other was one explanation for why women should not lay Megillas Esther for men invoked a Kavod Tzibur thing. Even though we still haven't explained Kavod HaTzibur per se, except that we offered a couple of ideas. One idea at the end last week was that Kavod HaTzibur is a display of disrespect to the community, showing that you don't respect the community. So, for example, you're rolling the Torah while the community is sitting there. You didn't respect them enough to take care of it in advance. Or uncovering the Aron in public, which we explained meant that they used to have the Sefer Torah stored elsewhere, outside. And they made everybody wait now to go get the Torah from this box where it was stored. So that was one. And the other is that it makes the community look undeserving of respect. So, for example, if they have a chazit who doesn't have a beard, it makes them look bad, like this is their representative. Or if they read from an incomplete Sefer Torah, it makes the community look poor. That was at least one explanation from the Ran. We're going to have to revisit what Kavod HaTzibur means in light of what we're going to see today. But what I want to talk about is whether Kavod HaTzibur is an absolute value or not. Josh?
Based on all the examples we brought, I mean, is Kavod HaTzibur limited to the Tzibur in shul?
Yeah, so all these cases are shul specific.
Right.
It's very interesting.
Theoretically, it doesn't have to be in a shul. You can have a minyan somewhere.
Okay.
But they all seem to be pretty shul related.
Right. I think it's logical that you would see that, because that's when we are assembled
together. Right, that's
together.
When we are together.
The Lashon and Tzibur.
Right, but theoretically, Tzibur can exist without that kind of a framework. I mean, Josh's point is well taken. If we accept what the Pachad Yitzchak said, that the origin of Kavod HaTzibur is when Yisro says to Moshe, it's not right for you to be judging everybody, you sitting there and everybody waiting, that's not a shul situation.
It's a religious gathering, that's the point. All these are religious gatherings.
It doesn't even have to be a religious gathering. Let's imagine the following, okay? I'm making this up now. But let's say you had a situation in which, in a community, people received their water by ration. Okay, there's a supply of water, and everybody gets their water by ration. So the way we set it up is that every Tuesday, whatever it is, they have to go line up and get their water. Are you violating Kavod Tzibur by doing that if you have better options for how you provide the water? Right? I mean, that would be an outside of religious context, but they are a Tzibur.
Do we have examples of that? Those, all the examples that the Rav gave all seem to be examples of a religious gathering. Even by Moshe, they were gathering to ask Shilas.
Right. So we do have examples of it, but we don't usually call it Kavod Tzibur, right? What do we usually call it? Tirchad Tzibura. Right? So the question is, fundamentally, is Tirchad Tzibura sort of a piece of the Kavod Tzibur concept? And I don't know. I think it's an interesting question. I think it sounds like it should be, but then the question is, why do we have different phrases? Right, tirchad tzibur means straining the tzibur, as opposed to kavod tzibur, which you could argue is more positive.
Tirchad tzibur seems to be one of the two explanations for just gave kavod tzibur. Kavod tzibur is the idea of, you know, not respecting them enough. That those all seem to be situations of tirchad tzibur.
Right. No, what I'm suggesting is that tirchad tzibur will be a subset of kavod tzibur.
What does it mean for kavod abrios, which is even for Eliyahu?
Right. So the difference between this and kavod abrios is precisely that kavod abrios is individual. It's about the individual standing. This is communal. So, what I'm hoping to do is going to involve a little bit of an unpacking of what Kavod Tzibur is, but in the context of the question of whether what is the standing of Kavod Tzibur in Halacha? I asked, is it an absolute value? But specifically, three questions. Number one, is this a hard and fast thing? Like, you can't violate Kavod HaTzibur? Or is it like, l'chatchila, you should be worried about the Kavod of the Tzibur? It's a nice thing. That's one question. Second question is, could this be subjective? Is it possible to argue that Kavod Tzibur changes over time? So, for example, I'll give you the easiest example. It's one we're going to see. You told me that it's not Kavod HaTzibur to have a chazan who doesn't have a beard. What if it's a youth minion? They're all teenagers. Right? Or what if the only guy with a beard is a guy who hasn't shaved his beard in however many years, doesn't comb it and groom it, and so that's your guy with a beard, and he looks very unkempt, and everybody else is clean-shaven. So, are you going to tell me Kavod HaTzibur requires that we pick the guy with the unkempt beard? Like, what does Kavod HaTzibur mean? So that's the second question. And then the third question that we're going to spend most of our time on is, can you be mochel? Can you forgive Kavod HaTzibur? Could the Tzibur say, you know, you're right, this isn't really Kavod HaTzibur, but we still are okay with it? We saw this discussion a while back in the Beis Yosef very briefly. We're going to find out today that it's much more complicated than what we saw at first. But to give one example that we saw not that long ago, it may have been last week, a shul that said, we would like to have a minor get up to lead the davening because the minor has a beautiful voice and we think that'll enhance our davening. And yes, you'll tell me that it's not Kavod HaTzibur, but it's, you know, we like the way his voice sounds. Yeah.
How's that different than the objective subjective question? If you can be mochel, it seems to be a subjective idea.
Right, but the argument would be, even if you're going to tell me that it's objective, maybe we can be mochel anyway. In other words, the halachic calculus is there is such a thing as Kavod HaTzibur, and it's the cases that we defined. But we have another consideration that's more important to us. I'll give you an example. The easiest case that's going to come up here. You have a shul that has only one Sefer Torah. They now, it's Shabbos, Vayaka Pekude, and it's Vayaka Pekude, Rosh Chodesh, and HaChodesh. Right? So, from a Kavod HaTzibur perspective, you're not supposed to roll the Torah with them sitting there. However, they'll say, well, otherwise we're not going to be Yotzei Kriyas HaTorah. So it is. You're right, Kavod HaTzibur is objective. This is not Kavod HaTzibur. But we want to forgive it because we'd rather fulfill Kriyas HaTorah. You know?
Yeah, I mean, I'd almost think, then it's not an issue of Kavod HaTzibur.
Right, but the way we tend to look at it is not in the holistic view. You're right, you could make the holistic argument, look at it as a package, and this isn't Kavod HaTzibur because it's laning. They're fulfilling laning. But we tend to break it down to the individual factors and say it is a Kavod HaTzibur problem, but we want Kriyas HaTorah. So let's see what we do with this. First, the question of whether this is, in fact, only lechatchila. So I quoted last week the article by Mendel Shapiro. He's very big on the idea that it's only lechatchila. And one of his bases for saying so is the Ritva that I brought you here, the short line in the Ritva in Source Aleph. He's talking about women laning Megillah for men. and he writes, the kevan dekaima lanku of Yeshua ben Levi dechayavos, the words in brackets I added, since we follow Yeshua ben Levi, that women are obligated in reading the Megillah, ach motzios, they could also read the Megillah for men. Ela she'ein zeh kavod latzibur vehein bechlal me'era. I did the underline. The Ritva doesn't have an underline. They could also fulfill it for men. What he's doing here is he's addressing a point that we saw a few weeks back in the Mishnah Brura. The Mishnah Brura discusses the question of why women don't lay Megillah for men, as recorded in Shulchan Aruch, and he offers two explanations. One explanation that he offers is because women aren't obligated in the way that men are. There's a possibility that women are obligated to hear Megillah read, but are not obligated to read it. Why that's so is beyond the scope of what we're going to say right now. But that's one possibility. The other possibility is that it's a Kavod Tzibur issue. Just like for Sefer Torah, they're not supposed to lean because of Kavod Tzibur, so too when you're dealing with Megillah. So the Ritva says that we follow Rabbi Shua ben Levi, and women are obligated in reading the Megillah, and therefore they could do it for men. The first argument is not an argument. Then why don't they? It's not kavod sibor, v'hein bechlal me'era. He didn't stop with saying it's not kavod sibor, that it's not considered to be within proper kavod sibor. He adds three words. They would be included within me'era. Me'era means a curse. And what he's talking about is a phrase that the Gemara uses regarding a man who doesn't make kiddush for himself, but he turns to his wife to make kiddush for him, or to his minor child to make kiddush for him. And there they say, Tavo Me'era, a curse should come upon him, and it's generally understood that it's because here you have a guy who is obligated, and he's obligated and therefore should be teaching himself, and instead he's lazy about it. So therefore, there should be a curse upon him because he doesn't take his obligation seriously. That's the language that the Gemara uses in that context and in a few other ones. If you Google the phrase Tavo Me'era, you'll see other cases where it's used. But the point that Shapiro makes is that Tavo Me'era is not halachic language. It is, in other words, you could have a case in which someone does something for which we say Tavo Me'era, however, it's 100% acceptable halachically. You can do something that brings upon a Tavo Me'era. It's your problem. But it's valid. And that's his point of reading this Ritva, is to say, by adding these words of, this is in the category of Me'era, what the Ritva is telling you is, it's valid halachically if she leans for the guy. It may not be what we recommend.
Is there not focus about the scope of this, of that Gemara as well? Like whether, isn't there a Tosfos there that talks about, the scope of that, of how far the curse goes? Like, it gets into issues of women doing things which they are obligated to, like kamotzi, like having a man have the woman as a motzi.
Right, so there is a separate discussion about that.
Yeah.
So that's one source that Shapiro quotes to argue that in fact, kavod hatzibur is only a lechatchila thing, but that b'diavad you could do it. He also brings the Bach regarding women laning Megillah, where the Bach writes the following. It's in source base, commenting on the tour. So the tour had written, the Rambam wrote that you're not supposed to have the Megillah Laner read sitting down. They perished. He also believes that lechatchila one could read the Megillah sitting down. It's just that he believes that lechatchila you're not supposed to lay in the Megillah sitting down. I'm sorry, not Megillah. This is the Kriyas
HaTorah.
I'm sorry.
That would be Megillah.
No, but I'm wondering if he also means Kriyas HaTorah in there. No, but he is Megillah. Okay. The Vitamo de Vachom Mili Rechayshin, the Kavod Tzibur, the Kriya Satara, who had been Megillah. He says, wherever we say that Kavod Tzibur is a factor for Kriya Satara, whatever element of Kriya Satara we change to fit Kavod Tzibur, we'll do the same thing for Megillah. Datam Shneim Echad, because they have the same source. What that means, I'm not entirely clear on, but I want to skip the phrase. Ulafize Ye Rae. Based on this, it appears. Even though the Rambam's view is that women could lay in Megillah for men, so too, women regarding Megillah Esther should not do so lechatchila. Now, again, I underlined for you the words lechatchila. So again, Shapiro says, that shows this is only lechatchila. That doesn't mean that Kavod HaTzibur is no longer a factor. But what it means is that it's only a lechatchila factor. And therefore, if I have some other consideration, it could override it. The other way to look at it would be potentially to say, since the rabbi said this is the way to do the mitzvah and not this way, if you don't do it in the way that they said, you aren't doing the mitzvah at all. So what he is arguing is that that's not true. You follow? You know what it's like if you learn the Gemara in the beginning of Psachim, where they talk about bir chametz, right? And what happens if you own chametz on Pesach? They talk about the something that is only chametz. I'm sorry, other way around. Do it this way. They talk about the case in which somebody does kiddushin with chametz, but it's something that's only chametz midirabanan. So technically, you could argue that midirabanan, biblically, it's not chametz, and therefore it is considered to be theirs, and therefore the kiddushin is valid. And the response is no. Since the rabbis came along and told you that it's not yours, therefore it's not yours, even though midirabanan it is yours. Now, that brings in other issues, hefker based in whatever, but I'm using an imperfect analogy because I only thought about this piece on the fly. But the point that he's making is, that Shapiro is trying to make here is, that by saying Kavod HaTzibur is only a lechatchila concept, what you're saying is, therefore if you broke it, you still fulfilled the mitzvah. So if you had a woman lane, you still fulfilled the mitzvah. Don't tell me that once they tell you she shouldn't lane because of Kavod HaTzibur, that's not Kriyas HaTorah anymore. It's not true. That's the argument that he's trying to make. Okay. Second piece. Is Kavod HaTzibur subjective? So here, on the discussion of whether Kavod HaTzibur is subjective, I brought you a Rashba in Megillah. Take a look at Source Gimel. This is the Gemara Megillah he's commenting on. It's a Mishnah. Hakari is a Megillah omed v'yoshev. When you read Megillah, you could sit or you could stand. Kara echad karuha shnayim yatsu. Whether it was read by one person, read by two people, doesn't matter. Either way, you're yotze. You fulfilled your obligation. Got it? Clear? So on that, the Rashba comments. Hakariyas ha-megillah omid v'yoshev yatsa. Ve'avagav diktani yatsa. Even though it says yatsa, you fulfilled your obligation, which usually, when you use the word yatsa, that means it's a bidyeved. Still, afil lechatchila ka'amar. The truth is, even lechatchila, you are yotze. Even though they use the word yatsa. How do I know that? Tevitei dalacha. Dahag katani kara echad karua shnayim yatsu. Because the second line in the Mishnah said, if one person reads it, or if two people read it, you're yotze. Vahu al karchan lechatchila. There has to be lechatchila. You can't tell me if one person reads it, that's a bidyeved thing that you're yotze. That's... I mean, what are your other options? Right? Zero or three? I mean, what are you suggesting? So so even though the Rambam said, as we saw last week, that you're not supposed to read the Megillah sitting down because of Kavod HaTzibur, the Rashba has zero problem saying that it's valid even lechatchila, which suggests that Kavod HaTzibur is subjective. That not everybody is going to agree with everybody else's rules for Kavod HaTzibur. I'm not talking about where the Gemara says something is Kavod HaTzibur. But that in fact, the Rambam can say, Megillah should not be read sitting down. This is Kavod HaTzibur. And the Rashba can say, nah, that really isn't an issue. You follow? Now, I wonder if you couldn't argue that this is different. Maybe this is different. Why would you say it's different? See if anybody else sees the same difference that I see. Maybe the debate is not about Kavod HaTzibur here. The debate is about associating Megillah with Kriyas HaTorah. In other words, what the Rambam did when he made the statement that you're not supposed to lay Megillah sitting down was not to say reading Megillah sitting down is a Kavod HaTzibur problem. His point was to equate Megillah with Kriyas HaTorah. So it could be that that's their debate. The debate isn't whether Kavod HaTzibur applies. The debate is whether we borrow from Kriyas HaTorah to Megillah. So I'm not sure that this read of the Rashba is correct. But that's one. A second one is more clear. From Rabbi Tzion Abba Shaul, former chief Sfaradi rabbi, I believe, of the State of Israel, in Source Hay, in his Or LeTzion. He makes the interesting point fairly explicitly regarding potential subjectivity of Kavanat Zibur. He says, V'agav, along the way, in his discussion of Kriya Satara, Yesh la ha'ir, there is room to question or to challenge. V'meshakasav maran v'shulchan aruch simen reish pei beisiv gimol, the shulchan aruch wrote, Hakol ol neminyan shiva, filu isha v'kadosh yedele mimavarchin, a woman can count for an aliyah as can a minor who's old enough to know what we're doing this bracha for. Aval amu chachamam isha l'tikra b'tzibur b'nei kavarat zibur, end of quote. But the chacham said a woman should not lay in publicly because of kavarat zibur. But tzarech iyun. So Ben Sion Abba Shaul says, you have to examine here. She'im al kopanam ein isha olu b'nei kavarat zibur, mainach gemina she'isha olu l'minyan shiva. L'shem ha'kasav marana l'chazu. He says, why did the Shulchan Aruch see fit to give me the opening half of his sentence? Right? If a woman doesn't count towards the seven, lemaisa, a woman doesn't count towards the seven, why did you begin by saying everybody counts towards the seven? Yes, that was the language that the Brisa used. But it has no implications for halacha if you believe it's not doable, right? You follow the problem? Why did the Shulchan Aruch begin with that part of the sentence? So he answers by saying, because it can change. He says the practical application would be in a case where there is no kavarat zibur. And he gives you an example. What if everybody davening in the minyan is from one family? Right? We did this a bunch of years ago. My grandmother turned 90. So we had a big family retreat at some hotel. And it was just us with a minyan. We had a Sefer Torah, and we had a Kriya Satara that was just ours. So that's the case that he's describing. Everybody there in the minyan is part of this family. V'ha'isha hi rosh habayis, and the woman who's there is the matriarch of the family. V'chol she'ar mispalim him banel unchada, and everybody who's dominating there are her sons and her grandsons. Shaz ein chisaron kavadat zibur m'meveshatala la Torah. There's no lack of kavadat zibur when the matriarch of the family is going to get an aliyah. Right? We didn't do that, just to make sure that's clear here. But he says, that's not a kavadat zibur problem. The argument that he's making is that that's why the Shulchan Aruch said, hakol olin. Because you shouldn't forget that if it's not a kavadat zibur case, then she could get the aliyah. And then he concludes, of course, ulamayisit tzarech iyun. He's not telling you should do this, but he's saying it requires some examination as to whether that argument could in fact be made. The Or Litzion does make the suggestion. So this is another one that's brought by Mendel Shapiro to make this argument. So again, I'm not clear that I agree with him regarding the Rashba. I think the Rashba may not be saying that Kavadat Zibur is subjective when he disagrees with the Rambam. He could be disagreeing with the Rambam because the Rambam equates Kriya Satara with Kriya Megillah. I think that could be that could be the Rashba's point. But the Or Litzion is very clear. He's throwing down the gauntlet with subjectivity. Also, I gave you a quote here from footnote 258 in the Frimer article in Tradition from Rav Shlomo Fisher, where he writes, in source above, contrary to other poskim in this school, in the section that he's discussing, personal communication to Dov I. Frimer maintains that Kvod Shlomo Fisher, personal communication to Dov I. Frimer maintains that Kvod Shemayim is subjective and depends on the perception of the community. Now here, he's not talking about Kvod Sibur, he's talking about Kvod Shemayim. But in the sense that Kvod Sibur sometimes is Kvod Shemayim. The argument is made that sometimes, and we'll see this later on, sometimes when you talk about respect for the community, what you really mean is respect for God. So for example, we talk about sending up somebody who is wearing torn clothing as the chazan. So one way to look at it is it's disrespectful to the community. But the other way to look at it is that it shows the community is not serious in their approach to God, and therefore it's disgraceful to God. What you're saying is we don't care so much about who we put out there in front of God. It can be somebody who's bedraggled and we won't consider that a diminution in divine honor. Leave aside the question of style and leave aside the question of Hashem really wants the heart, then therefore Hashem doesn't look at what the person is with. Not the point. The point is if a community putting forth its best representative says, you know what, we don't care what he's wearing, they suggest that's really a derogation of Kavod Shamayim. It's showing that Kavod Shamayim doesn't matter so much to us. And on this point, that's where Rabbi Fisher says, Kavod Shamayim is subjective and depends on the perception of the community. Thus, if the congregation does not believe that a particular act impinges on the honor of heaven, it may set aside Kavod HaTzibur. It's up to the community. And then he adds, we should note that Rabbi Fisher refused to rule on the issue of women's aliyot halacha l'maisa, just in case you were wondering. He said Rabbi Fisher did not make this statement regarding women's aliyos and wasn't... Rabbi Shlomo Fisher, he's a posek Eretz Yisrael. What did he write? Chaya Asher, I think, is his. I think Chaya Asher is his. Sorry. Adam, you were going to...
There's a certain famous study from my honest... always wears torn shoes, people accept him as a very, very special person, so he's always dressed like totally torn up, that's Doc, and that's what he took upon himself. So I think that's a perfect example of being subjective. People don't think this guy, think of him as somebody who is of a level, it's the opposite. They see he's taken on something on himself to be.
Would he do that when he was chazen?
Yeah, you see with the coats all the time, he is like, he's a...
No, but if he was davening for the Amud, would he do it? That's my question.
I see him leading prayer services all the time at the hotel.
Interesting. Okay.
Very high level.
Sorry.
Dian Fisher's a big make of pregnant already. The same Dian Fisher?
It will be the same Dian Fisher, but I don't know the answer to your question. I just pulled up on here what's a Chachma to see if I'm right about him writing the Chaya Asher. But it's a little slow. Okay. I'll let you know when I see it. He has a base Yishai for Rav Shlomo Fisher. He doesn't list him with Chaya Asher. Okay. In any case, in terms of subjectivity, you do have some sources that indicate that maybe you could argue it's subjective. That's clearly going to matter when we come back to the issue of women's aliyos, but we're not ready yet to try to apply it to women's aliyos, because we don't yet understand Kavod HaTzibur in broad before we're going to understand an application to a particular case. But as I said, the main thing that I wanted to get to is the question of whether Kavod HaTzibur is forgivable, because this is going to give us a lot of insight into what we're talking about. So, in discussing this, we're going to deal with the following five cases, which we've already discussed, but I'm just going to mention them quickly. One, the beardless chazan. Can a community say, we're okay with a chazan without a beard? Number two, leaning from a chum. By the way, when we talk about the beardless chazan, as we'll see, we mean that he's the kavua shliach tzibur. We don't mean that he gets up to daven once. We mean that he's the set chazan in a shul which has such a thing. Number two, leaning from a chumash where there is no kosher Torah. Number three, rolling the Torah in shul while the minyan waits. Number four, women leaning Megillah for men. And number five, the Baal Kriya standing or sitting while leaning the Megillah. Those are the five cases that we're gonna see discussed here. So, background material that's going to make the discussion go smoother. First of all, regarding leaning from a chumash. When I say a chumash here, I should make sure to explain. What we mean is a scroll that is a chumash. Okay, so it's not a chumash like we have found an art scroll chumash. But I mean, someone has a cloth of just one chumash. So regarding that, the Gemara in Gittin Daf Samach says, don't do it. If you take a look at Zor Zion, Rabbi Rav Yosef Dami Travayu Ein Korin Bechumashim Beis HaKnesses Mishum Kavod Tzibur. Right? They say, don't lain from a chumash. They say, why? Because of Kavod Tzibur. However, the Rishalmi brings the same halacha with a different reason. If you take a look at Zor Ches, Asun Shalom Rabbi Yonah Rabbi Yosef, they came and asked Rabbi Yonah and Rabbi Yosef, Ma'u Likros Beseifer Barabim, I added the word chaser. What is the law regarding reading from a scroll which is lacking in the community, right, in public? Can you use just the chumash? Can you use Sefer Torah that's missing something? The Korban Aida, I think, there in Megillah also adds the word chaser. So Amar Lun Asur. So the response that they got was, you're not allowed to. But Lo De Asur, it's not really true that it's Asur to read from this lacking Sefer Torah in public. Ela min go dinaf shahon agima inun zavnin lahon o achori. He says the point is people will be upset because they can't fulfill Kriyas HaTorah, and that will spur them to spend on a real Sefer Torah. What he's saying is, halachically, you could lean from a Chumash Bereishis. You get up there with a cloth that's just Chumash Bereishis. It makes Hagbah a lot easier. And just lean from that. However, we don't want people doing that. Because if they do that, the result will be that they'll never get themselves a full Sefer Torah. So this is meant to say to them, you're not going to have Kriyas HaTorah until you splurge on a Sefer Torah. That's Yerushalmi's explanation, quite different, obviously, from the Bavli. So, out the window, apparently. We're going to come back to that.
So it does have all those halachas,
or not? Oh, no, it does. But I'm sorry, I thought you were asking a different question. We say, like, if I have a Sefer Torah that I'm leaning from on Shabbos, and I find there's a mistake in a letter,
right,
you know, we have to go get a new Sefer Torah. I thought you were asking, like, what happened to all the laws of Ksiva Sefer Torah?
No, I'm saying, like, if this is written properly, it's just only one fit.
Correct.
So I'd be more expensive. They already have all five. Put them together.
Well, no, because it's easier for a sofer to write just one chumash. So that's what you do. You have your bungalow colony somewhere, right? And you know you only need Bamidbar and Dvarim. So you go get yourself a Bamidbar and a Dvarim. Something like that. Okay. That's one. Second piece of background material is the case of rolling the Torah in shul. And it comes back to a Gemara in Yuma. You take a look at Source Tess. They're talking about the Avodah on Yom Kippur and what the Kohen Gadol does. And at a certain point, the Mishnah says, and you see it here in Source Tess, Ube'asur shel chumash hapakudim korei al peh. He does the laning. First he lanes from a Sefer Torah. He lanes the regular laning for Yom Kippur, and then for the Maftir, Ube Asor, right, Ube Asor Lachodesh Hazeh, and so on, that you find in Parshas Pinchas, Chumash HaPekudim is another way to say Chumash Bamidbar, Korei Alpeh, he lanes it by heart, rather than roll the Sefer Torah, or bring a second Sefer Torah, he just says that part, the Maftir he can do by heart. So the Gemara asks, Amai? Why is he able to do that? Niklo v'nikri. Why didn't just roll the Torah? Right? So Amar Huna, Breed of Yeshua, Amar of Sheshes, Lefi She'in Golden Sefer Torah, but Tzibor v'nei Kavod Tzibor. His answer is, you don't roll the Sefer Torah in public. It's not respectful to the community. Or I shouldn't say that. It's not Kavod Tzibor. I am, by translating Kavod Tzibor, I am assuming that conclusion. V'naisi achrina v'nikri. So why can't you get a second Sefer Torah there in the Beis HaMikdash? Right? Is that hard to find a Sefer Torah? Rav Huna Bar Yehuda Amar Mishum Pegamo Shel Rishon. So Rav Huna Bar Yehuda says the concern is if you bring in a second Sefer Torah, people will think there was something wrong with the first one. And then the Gemara will go into a discussion about such a Pegam concern. Reish Lakish Amar Mishum Bracha Shenitzricha. Reish Lakish gives a different answer because of an unnecessary bracha. I'm not going into this right now. My point is only to show you that that they don't have him bring another one. They don't roll the Torah. They have him read by heart. And the reason that's a problem is because of the Gemara in Gittin Daf Samach Amud Beis, which says, you are not allowed to recite Pesukim by heart. Take a look at Source Yud, where the Tosfos Yeshanim on that Gemara in Yuma asks that question. V'had Amar Begitin, the Gemara in Gittin says, Dvarim Shebechsav Yata Rashi La'omron Baal Peh. That which is written in a text may not be recited by heart. So Omer Rebbe, the mitzvah min hamufchar hu likros oso shebechsav bechsav shebeal peh beal peh. So the first answer we get, the Tosfos Yeshanim says, is that it's an ideal for you to do this, you know, in this way, meaning that you should recite things that are in a text. You should recite from the text. Things that are always said by heart, you can recite by heart. But that's only a lechatchila. That's a mitzvah and a mukhar. It's a really nice thing to do. But what are you going to do? You're in the Beis HaMikdash there. You need the laning, so that's what we'll do. And Mishum Kavod HaTzibur, they said, Lo Adrichu Liglo, we're not going to make them roll. That's the first answer. Second answer, V'riva Piresh V'Amar, Ho'el Ve'ino Magid Ela Avodas Hayom, Yachol Likros Ba'al Peh. Kein Tfilas HaMusaf Ben Shanu Korim Ba'al Peh. The Riva says that no, since all he's doing is reciting the psukim about the order of the Avodah for that day, not the order of it, but he's reciting the psukim of the avoda for that day. Everybody knows that by heart, or at least the Kohen Gadol for sure knows that by heart. And he says it's like us when we daven musaf and we don't have a sitter, so we say the psukim of musaf, right? And musaf on Shabbos, musaf on Yom Tov, you have psukim uviyom haShabbos, right? Uviyom haBikurim on Shavuos, right? This is familiar. So so when you say those psukim by heart because you're davening without a sitter, what's your justification? The answer is because everybody knows these psukim, therefore it's okay. So he gave you two different answers. I brought you in source Yud Aleph just because people don't often know this halacha that you're not supposed to say things by heart if they are psukim. So the Shulchan Aruch does give you in source Yud Aleph certain exceptions to the rule. Shema is one, Birchas Kohanim is another, Parshas HaTamid, basically things that everybody knows really well, so therefore I don't have to worry about mistakes and it's not disrespectful to do so.
So yeah. How would one justify doubling, say, the Amida with their eyes closed or something like that?
Right.
If they have a sitter in front of them but their eyes are shut.
Right. So the two things. One is that really when we say Dvarim Shebichsav, we mean things that were originally in a text, meaning Psukim specifically. The other point, though, is that in general, we don't approve of davening without a sitter. There are many, many halachic authorities who write about this. The exception is where you won't have kavana. For whatever reason, there are distracting things around you, whatever it is, where you won't be able to think about what the words mean, so then that may be an exception. Or no sitter available type of thing. But really, it's not something.
One has a sitter, but chooses to. I've seen that happen.
Mm-hmm. Maybe they're concerned for distractions. Don't know. Okay, so those are two items of preface here, and I bring them because they're both going to be very relevant in the discussions that go forward. So, we start with the view of the Rambam in terms of whether Kavod HaTzibur can be forgiven. And the Rambam's view is unclear. You will recall that the Rambam wrote in Hilchos Tefillah Perek Ches Halacha Yud Aleph, we quoted it last week, that you can't have a chazan without a beard, because of Kavod HaTzibur. So the Beis Yosef, Rav Yosef Karo, in Source Yud Beis, does something that I don't really understand. He writes, V'chein kasav ha-Rambam, perek ches me'elchaz tefillah halach yid aleph. The Rambam wrote this as well, about not having a chazan without a beard, v'zel l'shono, he quotes you the whole Rambam, mishlo nismali zekano, if he doesn't have a full beard, af bishu chacham gadol, even if he is very wise, lo yeshlech tzibur, v'bnei kavod tzibur, out of respect for the community. Al poris al shema, mi'shiyavishtei saros, achiyu gimel shana, he can do poris al shema, which we're not going to talk about right now, that he can do. Fine. Ad Kandavarav, end of quote. Ulefi zeh, he writes, based on what the Rambam wrote, im ratzu hatzibur limchol al kvodam nira sharashus biyadam. Based on this, if the community wishes to forgive their honor, it appears they are able to do so. What was it within the Rambam that tipped him off? That the Rambam is saying that tzibur can forgive it.
Second.
The fact that he allows Paris HaShema?
Yeah.
Maybe. I don't know. I don't know what he is seeing here. The fact that you can do Paris HaShema, though, I'm not sure why that shows they can be mocha. Just the fact that there is something that a kid can do?
Since you can do Paris HaShema, it means that you're not actually... it's the same thing. Once you can do Paris HaShema, it means you can actually do it, even though Kavod HaTzibur is like not to. But Paris HaShema means that halakhically you wouldn't fulfill your obligation. And therefore, what he's saying, if in the first part they decide to waive their Kavod HaTzibur, then there should be Adam. Because halakhically everything's okay.
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
maybe. The problem is that we really don't equate Paris HaShema with being a Shliach Tzibur.
But they're doing the same thing.
Well, no, it's this weird thing that's done just with the brachos of Yotzer and Shema. I don't think it is the same thing. Also, because we're going to see that everybody seems to assume that when we talk about being Shliach Tzibur, it means, as I said before, to be a kavua Shliach Tzibur, to be the Shliach Tzibur, like, fixed in an ongoing way. Paris HaShema is an occasional thing. It isn't something that you normally do, even. So I'm not sure of that. I'm not the only one who's bothered by this. I was very relieved to see that the Taz asked my question also. If you take a look at Yud Gimel, look at the language of the Shulchan Aruch. Ein mimanin elamishin is male zikano. you don't appoint someone to be Shnav Tzibur unless he has a full beard. Because of Kavod HaTzibur. Aval be'akroi, but occasionally, Mishahevi Shtesaros, once he's already physically mature, Yuchal Leri Lifnei HaTeva, he can be the Chazan. Ubilvad Shelo Yismane Mipiat Tzibur O Mipishleach Tzibur Hamemane Oso LaHakel Me'alav L'Hispalel Ba'adoli Itim Yiduim. He says, as long as you don't appoint him by the community or by the chazan who says, I want a break for a while, so I want this kid to daven in my place for a while. Apparently this was a phenomenon that when you hired somebody to be the ongoing shliach tzibur for the community, he needed a break. He wants to go away for a week. He's going to go on a road trip to Kansas. So what are we going to do? He has to appoint somebody. So he takes the kid and he says, "Kid, you be my shliach tzibur in my place." So the Shulchan Aruch says nothing doing. He can do it once in a while, but he can't be someone who's going to be a kavua shliach tzibur even if it's just for a limited period of time. That's the Shulchan Aruch language. Now, once we know that the Beis Yosef wrote in Yud Beis that the tzibur can be mochel, and then we see his psak here in the Shulchan Aruch, where he says occasionally they could use him, that presumably follows from what he said in Yud Beis. Take a look though at the Taz in Yud Daled. Commenting on that line in the Shulchan Aruch, Mibnei Kavod HaTzibur, he says, Kach Kasav HaRambam, this is what the Rambam wrote, that you're not supposed to appoint him to be the Chazan. The Kasav Beis Yosef, Delafiza Imatzibur wrote in Limchol HaKvodim Shaber Dami LeKablo. The Beis Yosef wrote that if the Tzibur wishes to forgive, then you can accept him. Ella de Harash lo Svira Lehachi, but the Rush did not agree. That's all from the Beis Yosef. I didn't bring you the Beis Yosef's quote of the Rush here. We're going to come back to it later. But he says, Udvarav Timuhim. The words of the Shulchan Aruch of the Beis Yosef, really, are shocking. Divadai af laharambam lo mahani mechila. The Rambam also will say that you can't forgive it. Divadai kavod atzibur bazeh hu kavod shemayim. His reason for saying this is not just my point that I don't see it in the Rambam's wording, but he says logically, and this is what I said to you before, kavod atzibur being kavod shemayim sometimes, he says, kavod atzibur here is actually kavod shemayim. It's the honor of heaven. He says, they want to honor God by picking a chazan who is suitable to speak on behalf of the community, negdo yisbarach, opposite Hashem. And he says, that's the issue. And he says, you see that this is what Kavod HaTzibur means based on the fact that they also say you shouldn't lean from a chumash. He says, what's the issue there? I'm sorry. I shouldn't read the way I just read that. That's assuming something that isn't necessarily so. Treat where he starts with Vizehu as a new paragraph. Okay? Treat it as though it's a brand new paragraph. He says, Vizehu, this thing that we just said. Okay? I don't know what that means. This thing that we just said is Muchachim Ashakasav Parakanizakin She'ein Karan B'chumashim B'tzibur B'nei Kavod HaTzibur. This thing that we just said is demonstrated by the prohibition against greeting from a chumash. What do you mean? B'simen kuf mem gimel kasvu aposkim stam ein karen v'chumash in b'tzibur. When they bring this as halacha, that we don't lean from a chumash, they quote this statement, ein karen v'chumash in b'tzibur, v'lo zachru tam de kavod tzibur. But they don't mention the reason of kavod tzibur at all. In the Shulchan Aruch, in kuf mem gimel, when they quote this as halacha, they don't say, don't read out of a chumash because of kavod tzibur. That's not what they say. They simply say don't read out of a chumash. V'im'isa d'mahani mechila, if it's really true that forgiveness works, haya lehem lahazkir atam, they should have mentioned that the reason why you can't do it is kavod tzibur. Kadesh nomon mizeh d'mahani mechila, so that we will understand that forgiving it works. The answer is you cannot be mochel, where it's something that relates to kavod shamayim. You can't forgive it if it's not about your kavod, if it's about kavod of Hashem. What was it that he was doing with this piece about reading from a Chumash? What is it that he's trying to demonstrate with the second half? That there's two different types of covenant tzibur.
Covenant tzibur, which is also covenant shamayim. There's covenant tzibur, which is covenant tzibur.
He said that in his first half, though. What is he adding here?
Well, he's adding in the second half. The fact that once we don't mention covenant tzibur, it's because you can't be both of them. He's
right.
Making the two synonymous. Whenever you mention covenant tzibur, he says by definition that means you can be both of them.
See, what I think he's saying here is, it's true, by omitting the phrase mipnei kavod tzibur, he's making it clear that over there you cannot forgive it. And the reason you cannot forgive it is because it's kavod shamayim. But he's carrying that back also to a case where it does say kavod tzibur, but it should mean kavod shamayim, which is the case of the chazan, right, the beardless chazan. He's saying that the same thing is true in the beardless chazan case, even though we did call it kavod tzibur.
No, but I thought that's the dvar tzimuyim. The dvar tzimuyim is how can the Beis Yosef come along and say you can be mochel if he's saying kavod tzibur there?
But it's kavod tzibur, not kavod shamayim.
With the beer?
Yeah.
But why? Isn't that the point?
What the Taz is saying, I think, is the following. With a beard, within the beardless chazan case, it says kavod tzibur. However, it means kavod shamayim, and I'll prove, and therefore you can't be mochel, and I'll prove that you can't be mochel because there was another case of leaning from a chumash in which they meant and said it's kavod shamayim, or they didn't say, but they didn't use the phrase kavod tzibur. They used the phrase kavod shamayim, and therefore you can't forgive it. Right? Over there. It's not called kavod tzibur because it's actually kavod shamayim and you can't forgive it. And so too over here, even though it says kavod tzibur, even still, you can't. In short, what I believe he's doing is saying the following. I believe what he's suggesting is that what the Beis Yosef meant to do with the Rambam was to read not into Pares al Shema, but to read into the language of Mipnei Kavod HaTzibur. I believe that's what the Taz is doing. Let me make sure that we're being clear here. The Taz is saying that the Beis Yosef said that the Rambam is willing to forgive the beardless chazan if the Tzibur wants to, because he gave a reason. By saying Mipnei Kavod HaTzibur, that meant, and you can forgive it if you want to. And his argument is that it's not true. You can't forgive it just because it says kavod hatzibur. Because sometimes kavod hatzibur may mean kavod shamayim, which is not forgivable. And I'll prove it to you, because in a case that everybody thinks is kavod hatzibur, the case of leaning from a chumash, they didn't even use those words. Now, if I wanted to argue with the Taz, I would say, where they omitted the words kavod tzibur, that's where you can't forgive it. But where they said it, then you can forgive it, right? Wouldn't that be the logical response to the Taz? So I'm not clear at all now on this, on how to come away from this Taz. You follow what he's saying and what the problem is?
Yeah. Sorry. Yeah.
Say this again? Yes.
They gave the reason in the original text.
In the Gemara.
Yeah, the fact that the postgame didn't say it probably means that they assume that they read the same thing that they did.
So you're asking about the assumption that omitting it was a halachic statement.
Yeah, because they forgot the lack of a proof doesn't make it a proof.
Right, except if the Taz is saying that the way the Beis Yosef read the Rambam was that by including the phrase, the Rambam was making a point, if inclusion is a halachic statement, then exclusion is also a halachic statement. At least the negation of the halachic statement you saw there. In other words, we didn't understand, or I didn't understand, why the Beis Yosef believes that the Rambam thinks you can forgive it. the Taz, I think, is saying that the Rambam believes you can forgive it because he included the words "Umnei Kavodat Zibor." Once you're willing to make that argument, that including the phrase Kavodat Zibor teaches that it can be forgiven, then omitting Kavodat Zibor isn't simply, well, I didn't want to bother quoting the entire Gemara. It's a statement that it cannot be forgiven.
So is he assuming that all posts have that?
That kind of an approach?
Yeah, because it makes sense if you say that the reason the Rambam did that, but you can't say that now that the Rambam did that, all other posts can do that also.
Unless you say that it's a consistent policy, but I think it is. Because it's true that normally we don't bring reasons. Normally, the Gemara is going to give whatever reason it's going to give. So let's say the Yerushalmi said the reason not to learn from Megillah is to go to them to go get themselves a Sefer, I mean, not to read from a Chumash, is because you want to go to them to get a Sefer Torah. Right? So so no one brought that as their explanation. Normally we don't bring explanations. So bringing the explanation says something, and therefore omitting it, yeah, is the negation of whatever it is that you wanted to say that it was. Josh?
I hear what Tataz is saying, but it's funny to read it with Lefi Zeh. I mean, I understand that he's making the deal on the fact that it says Mekne Kavodat Zibor.
Yeah.
Well, Lefi Zeh, because of this, it should be more, and you should know, Kavodat Zibor, you can be both a lot. It's not. What's a Lefi Zeh because of this?
You mean the Beis Yosef wording?
Yeah, yeah. Well, because of what?
Because he used the words Mekne Kavodat Zibor.
But it's all, it shouldn't be written like that. It should be, and you should know, whenever it's Kavodat Zibor, you can be both a lot. It's hard to, he's not really making a joke as much as the fact that he mentioned Kavodat Zibor, and every time he mentioned Kavodat Zibor, he could be mochel. The last one of the Lefi Zeh doesn't
I hear you, but I'm not so bothered.
Okay.
Yeah. The only thing that would bother me about it is if we would say that there's another piece missing. The fact that you say something is for Kavodat Zibor doesn't mean automatically the community can be mochel. We have already seen that there are different kinds of Kavodat Zibor, but also we know that in Halacha, in broad, there is Kavod you can forgive and there is Kavod you cannot forgive. Right? A father is allowed to forgive his Kavod. Right? He's allowed to let the kid do whatever it was, that or certain things, not everything. But there is an idea that in general, the father is able to be mochel his Kavod. A melech, on the other hand, is not allowed to be mochel his Kavod. So that is a step that will be missing. That I would have liked to have seen there. It isn't enough to say, well, since this is Kavodat Zibor, therefore, Zibor can be mochel. However, if what he's saying is, the fact that the Rambam brought Kavodat Zibor was meant to teach me that, then I can understand it fine. He's not making a logical argument, he's making a textual argument.
Yeah, I mean, I think he for sure has to be making a textual
argument. Yeah. Okay. So what we've seen so far is, that the within this, number one, we saw the argument potentially that Kavodat Zibor is a lechatchila concern, which means it's potentially overridable. That's number one. The number two, we've seen the argument made that perhaps it is subjective, at least based on the Or Litzion and the Rav Shlomo Fisher, even if I'm not so clear on the Rashba. And then in terms of whether Kavodat Zibor can be forgiven, we see that the Rambam's view is unclear. The Beis Yosef seems to think that the Rambam believes that Kavodat Zibor can be forgiven. And the Taz says, I don't think that read is correct, at least in a case which is really Kavod Shamayim. I'm going to bring one more source, because we've already seen it here, and that is the Rush.
Can you summarize the Taz?
Can the Taz give me a klal? The Taz gives me a klal that wherever it's Kavod Shamayim, it's not overridable.
However, it's just Kavod Zibor?
Then maybe it is.
Maybe it is,
yeah. The Rush was quoted already briefly in that Beis Yosef that the Taz quoted. So take a look at it in source Tetzvav, and we'll stop with this. He says, V'shesha alta, Mishlo nismali zikano, kama pa'am yachol nispala ba'akroi. This is always the question you ask. There are various times in Shulchan Aruch when we are told that something may be done ba'akroi. Be'akroi could be taken in two different ways. Be'akroi could mean, if it happens, it's not the end of the world. It just happened, it wasn't planned, spontaneously. Or be'akroi could mean occasionally. So the questioner of the Rush assumes that be'akroi means occasionally. And so his question is, can you help me by defining what occasionally means? That's the question. So he says, the Rosh answers, Da, Sheyachal is Pala Ba'akroi Keacha Bibnei Ha'ir. Know that he may daven occasionally, or once in a while, depending on what Akroi means, just like anybody else may. Shemis Palak, Shiyal Alibo, when he feels like it, he'll daven for the Yamud, right? When the Gabbai's asked him four times. Ubilvaj, Shalo Yismanim, Mipnea Mipia Tzibur, but he should not be appointed by the Tzibur. O Mipishnach Tzibur Hamimane, O Sola Hakilme Allah, Ulispalel Ba'adola Shaos. Or, by appointed by the Chazan to make things easier for him to daven for hours. I know what that means, even Lishaos. As opposed to Lishaah, meaning, you know, for once. But the Beis Yosef quotes this Rush. And the Beis Yosef says that the Rush believes that the Tzibur cannot be mochel. Because of the way that the Rush expresses it here, it's flat. There's no real leeway here. He says, yes, he could do it in this circumstance, but he may not be appointed by the Tzibur. So the way the Beis Yosef understands the Rambam and the Rush is that there's a machlokes. The Beis Yosef says the Rambam believes that it is flexible, the community can be mochel, and the Rush believes that the community is not able to be mochel. That's the way the Beis Yosef reads this Rush. What I want to see next time, God willing, is the views of a couple of other Rishonim, the Mordechai and the Shilta Giborim, the Beis Yosef, who is incredibly hard to read on this. There are different ways that you could take the Beis Yosef, the position of the Bach as well, and then we'll get into the Achronim. And then we'll have to discuss whether all Kavod Tzibur cases are created equal or not, because that's not clear at all. And then once we've done all of that, and we're brilliant, and we know everything there is to know about when Kavod Tzibur may be forgiven and not, then we can ask the question, what is the nature of Kavod Tzibur when you're dealing with a woman's aliyah? Is this a Kavod Shemayim issue? Is this a Kavod Tzibur issue? Is this forgivable? Is this not forgivable in light of what we've seen?
What's the Beis Yosef's view for the Rosh?
So the Beis Yosef doesn't really give you a whole lot to work with. He really doesn't. You know what? Take a look. Jump down to Source Yud Ches, because there I brought you the full Beis Yosef on this. He quotes you the Rush, right, verbatim, and he says, L'spal badol l'sha'os, after quoting the Rush at the end of the second line, v'zeo shakasav rabbeinu, meaning the tour, who is of course the son of the Rush, afil yeshechad b'muna, ela shememane zetachtav, even if you have a chazan who is appointed, but he put this, you know, kid in his place, l'spal v'm kamole itim yiduim, to daven at particular known times, mashma, it indicates from here, sha'af al pisha tzibur mochlem al kvodam, even though they are mochel, ein limno so, you still should not appoint him.
I don't know where he gets it from that it's much better than the Seabrook Mokel.
I guess from the fact that he says lo yismane, he should not be appointed.
Yeah, but then
it's flat.
The chazin, it's the other person. He's not going to sit in the chazin is appointing.
No. In the language of the Rush, Shelo Yismane, he should not be appointed. Yeah.
That's the second part. That's not the Shliach Tzibur.
That's the second one, but the first one is Shleis Mane Piyat Tzibur. He's talking about in general. I think he's talking about in general, yeah.
No, but that's
you go back to the language of the tour, because he didn't quote you the entire excerpt from the tour.
Right, but when he's saying, when he makes the deal, Vizesh Kasav Rabbeinu, Afilu Yesh Echad Memune, Ela Shemimane Zed Tachtav, he's mentioning the second one, not the first one.
Yeah, Afal Pichin.
So I was about to say that, I don't know where you get it from there, but that's super smoke. Because he's documenting the case where only the individual, the cousin, is...
I hear what you're saying. I'm not so sold. And I haven't seen anybody read the Rush. I've seen people protest his reading of the Rambam. I haven't seen anyone protest his reading of the Rush. I hear you. Kasha. All right. So we'll pick up with that, God willing, next week. Yes.